Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Zvi Hirschfield from the Pardes Institute, again from my home in Alon Shvut. So glad you're joining me. We're on our second to last day of our learning challenge. It's very exciting. We're closing in on finishing the fourth chapter of Rosh Hashanah. We're going to pick things up from towards the bottom of 34a, Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, with a Takana of Rabbi Abahu in Caesarea. As you might recall, there was a debate among the Tanaim whether or not the Trua sound is what we call a shvarim, a ooh, 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 or was it what we call a trua, a ooh, 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 ooh. One connected, the latter connected to crying, whereas the former connected to sighing. So he made the following legislation in Caesarea. He said, tkia shlosha shvarim trua tkia. He said they should blow a tkia, followed by shvarim, followed by trua, followed by tkia. That might be familiar because we do a blowing like that, you know, Tashrat, where we do a tkiah followed by Shvarim Truah followed by a tkiah. Manashach, the Gemara says, E Yalule Yalil, Lavi tkiah Truah tkiah. Viganu Cheganach, Lavi tkiah Shlosha Shvarim Utkiah. They said, what's he accomplishing here? If you believe that the Truah sound is like crying, then he should do a tkia trua tkia. And if you believe it's like sighing, then you should do a tkia shlosha shvarim utkia. Why didn't he just follow one of the prevalent opinions? Misafgale iganu cheganach o yalule yalio. It's because he had a suffix as to which one was the appropriate one. Was it the sighing sound or was it the crying sound? Therefore, he legislated both. Makifla Rav Avira. Rav Avira questioned this concept. The Dilma Yalule Hava, the Kamafsik Shlosha Shvarim Bein Trua Letkia. But wait a minute, what happens if the, what we call Trua sound is correct? In which case, the Shlosha Shvarim you are blowing is now coming as an interruption in between the Tkia and the Trua. Dehadar Ave Tkia Trua Tkia. Not to worry, because after he did the combined sound, he also had them blow three times Tkia Trua Tkia. Matkifla Ravina. Ravina objected. The Dilma Ganuche Hava, the Kamafsike Trua Ben Shvarim Latkia. But wait a minute. Maybe the Shvarim, maybe it's a sighing sound and the Shvarim is correct. In which case, you've created an interruption between the Shvarim and the Tkia by putting a Trua in between. The Gemara answered, not to worry. Dahadar Avi Trua Shvarim Trua. Not to worry. He then also had them do three sets of Tkia Shvarim Tkia. So not to worry. Ella, Rabbi Abahu, man itkin. If that's true, then what did he accomplish? Iganu chigana ha'avde. If it's a shvarim, if it's a sign, they did it. Iyalule yalil. If it's crying, ha'avde. Right? In other words, if they were doing three sets of tkia, trua tkia, and three sets of tkia, shvarim tkia, then what did he accomplish by having them combined? They've done both ways of doing it. Masafkale Dilma Ganach V'Yalil. He had a suffix that maybe, in fact, the sound was a combination. It was a sighing and a crying. That maybe the trua was supposed to be both. Ihachi, if that's true, Le'aved Nami Ibcha, Tkia Trua Shlosha Shvarim Utkia, Dilma Yalil V'Ganach. If he really had that suffix, then why didn't he also do the other combination? Why didn't he have them do Tkia followed by Trua, followed by Shvarim, followed by Tkia. Because maybe it was a crying and then a sighing. Answer, Stama de Milta, no, it's sort of generally understood and known. Ki mitra v'inish milta, when something bad happens to a person, b'resha ganach v'hadar yalio. First they sigh and then they cry. Now, a question the medieval commentaries were bothered by, before Rabbi Abahu's time, maybe lots of people were never Yotzei Tkiat Shofar, because maybe all the people that followed Shvarim were wrong, and it was really a Trua, and all the people that followed Trua were wrong, because it was actually a Shvarim. So Rav Haigon said that, in fact, on a biblical level, all these customs were correct. Whatever anybody did, they fulfilled the biblical requirement of Trua. And just everyone had their own minhag, and Rabbi Abahu was interested simply in combining the various minhagim to create a uniform practice for the Jewish people. And still to this day, Tamanim have a different trua sound than what Sfaradim and Ashkenazim use, and there are subtle differences between them, but Rabbi Abahu was attempting to unify the practice. We're now going on to the part of the Mishnah that said that Takah b'rishonah u'mashach b'shniyah k'shnayim, if you blew the first tkiah and then a trua, but then you blew the second tkiah for a doubly long time, it only counted for one. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Shema tesha tkiot b'tesha sha'ot b'yom yatsa. Yochanan said, even if you heard nine blasts of the shofar spread out over 9 hours of the day, presumably as long as you heard the proper order of tkiah, trua, tkiah, if they each came an hour apart, you fulfilled the obligation. Tanya nami hachi. We have a braita that supports this idea. Shema tesha tkiot b'tesha sha'ot b'yom yatsa. This means that if one heard nine blasts over the course of 9 hours, you fulfilled your requirement. However, if you heard all nine blasts from nine people at one time, lo yatsa, you haven't fulfilled the obligation. If you heard a tkiah from one person, a trua from another, yatsa, even if they alternated back and forth, even over the course of the entire day, proving that lapse of time does not invalidate the set of nine, as Rabbi Yochanan indeed said. Now the Gemara is going to question whether Rabbi Yochanan even did say this. Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Did not Rabbi Yochanan say the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak? The Hallel u'Megillah. If one was reciting Hallel, reading the Megillah, if they paused in the middle for a long enough time that in that time gap they could have completed the entire text, they have to go back to the beginning. That is an interruption that invalidates the reading, both of Hallel and Megillah. So doesn't that seem to indicate that Rabbi Yochanan holds that interruption invalidates the set and would apply to Tkiyat Shofar as well? Lo kasha, this is not a challenge. Hadi de hadi rabbe. When he said the halakha about shofar, that was his own view. When he was giving this problem of interruption invalidating Megillah or Hallel, that was his Rav's view, not his. The Didei lo, it really wasn't his view. Rabbi Abahu was discussing and following after Rabbi Yochanan, Vavekari Kriyat Shema, Rabbi Yochanan started to recite Kriyat Shema, Ki Matal and Mavot Metunafot Ishtik. When he came to an alleyway that was dirty with refuse and foul smells, he stopped reciting Shema. Batar the Khalif Amarle. After he had gotten through the dirty part of the street, Rabbi Abahu asked him, Mahu Ligmor, what about finishing the Shema? Amarlo, im shahita kadei ligmor kula chazor l'rosh. If the pause was long enough that you could have completed the rest of Shema, you have to go back to the beginning. Again, implying, according to Rabbi Yochanan, a pause or interruption can invalidate the entire structure, and you'd have to go back. Hachi kamali, this is what he said to him. Lididi lo sirli. If, according to my view, interruption or a pause is not a problem. Lididach the Sirlach, but according to you, who does hold that a pause is a problem, im shahita kadeli morakulach as or the rosh. If you pause long enough to then indeed to have finished, you have to go back to the beginning. Tan Rabbanan, we're going to quote another braita. Tkiot ein ma'akvot zoetzo, brachot ein ma'akvot zoetzo. Tkiot u brachot shalosh shenoshom kippurim ma'akvot. The braita said that. In this case, probably trumpet blasts on a fast day, or the special blessings one were to recite on a public fast day. These do not invalidate the other, meaning if you only know how to do some of them, whatever you do counts. If you only know some of the blessings, say them. If you only know some of the trumpet sounds, do them, because each one is not dependent, doesn't literally hold the other one back. However, the shofar blowings and the blessings of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur do hold each other back, meaning that if you only know how to blow some of the sounds, you know how to blow a tkiah, but not a trua, you can't blow any of them. They're all required for the set. If you only know a shofarot, but you don't know malchiot zichronot, don't say shofarot because it's required all three. My time, the Gemara asks, why should that be that you require all three? Amar Rabba, Rabbi said, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, God said, Imru lefanai b'rosh Hashanah malchiyot zichronot v'shofarot. Say before me on Rosh Hashanah the blessings of kingship, remembering, and shofar. Malchiyot, why malchiyot? Kadesh tamlicheni aleichem, to appoint me as king over you. Zichronot, kadesh yavo lefanai zichronechem, letova. Say zichronot, said I, that all that I know about you, my memory of you, shall come before me for goodness. Uvamen, how is this to be accomplished? Through the shofar, meaning it is a set. Malchiyot, zichronot, and shofarot are all one unit, and therefore all three are required. And the same thing is true as of the tkiot and trurot on Rosh Hashanah and of the yovel on Yom Kippur. All of those are one set as well. Misha be'rafa karkach nitmanalo shofar tokea moria v'tokea. One who has already recited the Musaf service, and then he gets a shofar, indeed, that person can still blow shofar. You're allowed to fulfill mitzvah shofar separately outside the context of the brachot of Musaf. Tama de lo havele shofar mikra. Ha havele shofar mikara ki shemalahu asader brachot shemalahu. This is only when he did not have a shofar originally. But if he had a shofar originally, he should sound the shofar, he should organize the brachot of his musaf around the hearing of the shofar. Because ideally, the shofar and the blessings of musaf should be integrated with one another and done all together, because the shofar, from this perspective, is also a vehicle of tefillah, it's a vehicle of prayer. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel kam letzui. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel got up to pray the Musaf service. Amar le l'sham e, ki nahir nalach takali. He said to his servant or his helper, when I signal you, blow shofar for me. Because he wanted to integrate his Musaf with the shofar. Amar le Rava, Rava said to him, lo amru ela b'cheder ir. This idea of integrating the shofar with the Musaf service is only when you're with a minyan, praying with the community, not as an individual. Tanya nami hachi, we have a brayta that supports this, k'shehu shom'an, shom'an al haseder. When he hears them, he should hear them according to the center, according to the structure, the order of tkia, trua, and tkiah, right? He should hear the shofar according to the right structure, the al seder brachot, and he should hear them with the structure of the blessings of Musa. B'medvrim amurim, what are we talking about? B'chever ir, when he's praying with the community. Aval shelo v'chever ir shom'an al haseder. When he is not praying with the community, he should hear the tkiot and the trurot in the proper order and structure. The shelo al seder brachot. But however, not along with his Musaf prayer, meaning that one who is davening Musaf alone would not then integrate shofar blowing into his Musaf service. In terms of our integration, there are two customs among the Rishonim. Some believed that the shofar blowing should also be integrated when the entire community is praying the lachash, when they are praying silently, which is why in those communities, every time when the chazan praying quietly would reach the end of each section, the shofar blower would blow, people would pause in their silent prayers and listen and then continue. And they would also do shorter sets in the Chazarat HaShatz and the reader's repetition. That is the custom of Nusach Sfard. Ashkenazic Jewish communities, however, only do shofar blowing as part of the reader's repetition of the Musaf prayer. Hasidic davening also follows the Sfardic custom of including the tkiot, the shofar blowing, in the silent portion when everyone is davening silently as well. The yachid shelo taka chavero tokeolo, an individual who has not heard tkiot shofar, his friend may blow for him. The yachid shelo berach ein chavero mevarech alav, however, an individual who has not davened musaf, his friend may not recite it for him and him simply listen. Umitzah. So what's interesting there, before we go on, is the idea of somebody being motzi you, right, doing it for you. That apparently, according to this view, that only works as a tefillah b'tzibur, when the chazan is reciting it for the whole community, but not one individual for another. There's a debate among the Rishonim. Some say this is true across the board. However, some say this is only true if the individual knows how to pray for himself. But if the person can't pray, then indeed an individual can say it on their behalf. And that is what the Ramah brings in the Shulchan Aruch. Umitzvah betokin yoter min ha-mevarchim. It is a more important mitzvah in blowing a shofar than the recitation of Musaf. Ketzad, what does this mean? Shtei ayarot, there are two villages or cities, v'chat tokin u'v'chat mevarchim. In one of them they have someone who knows how to blow shofar, and the other one they have someone who knows Musaf. Hochin l'makom shetokin v'ein hochin l'makom shemevarchim. So you should go to the place where they know how to blow shofar, and don't go to the place that doesn't know that knows Musaf. Pshita, the Gemara says, this is obvious. Hadra right to Hadra Banan. Of course, this is true. Tkiat shofar is a biblical commandment, and therefore it takes precedence over the rabbinic commandment of the Musaf service. Lo tzricha is necessary to teach it. Dafal gav deha vadai vaha safek. It's even true, even though it's one is a vadai, one is a safek, meaning one is a certainty. I know that in that village there is somebody who knows that daven Musaf, and I suspect, or I hope, or I think that someone in this other place knows shofar, but I'm not sure. You still go with the shofar, even though it's only a safek, even though it's in doubt, because a potential deoraita still outweighs the certain derabanan. Okay, thank you for joining. We're going to pick it up here next time for our last amud to finish off the fourth chapter of Tractate Rosh Hashanah. Thank you for joining.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.